the better hope. In his argument so far, the Apostle Paul has called attention to the fact that Jesus Christ came with a body specially fitted for him, Hebrews 10 verse 5, in order to do two things, in order to fulfill the specifics of every sacrifice offered in connection with the sanctuary, and also to do the will of God. God wanted obedience and not sacrifice. Sacrifice was to atone for disobedience. God wanted the obedience. But if any man sinned, Jesus Christ was not only the advocate, he was also the sacrifice. And Jesus offered himself to take the place of every sacrifice that was ever presented in the sanctuary. And having made this offering, and having died, he could ratify the covenant that was made with God's people. And as he had kept God's will with delight, so he put this obedience into the hearts of his people. And having done this, he remembered their sins and iniquities no more. And because there were no more sins, there was no need for any more offering. Therefore, Hebrews 10:19, brethren, having boldness, let's go into the sanctuary. The holiest is not really there in the Greek, it's ton hagion. Through the means of Christ's blood, a new and living way consecrated for us through the veil, his flesh. So Jesus, by his humanity, has forged a way for us into the sanctuary. As our high priest, therefore let us draw near. Now he hinted at this at the end of chapter 4. Let's come with boldness to the throne of grace, for grace and help in every time of need. Now, he says, let us do the same thing. Verse 19, let us come with boldness, with confidence, into the sanctuary, for there we have a high priest. So we can draw near with a full assurance of faith through the veil, that is, the humanity of Jesus Christ. It's because Christ in our humanity has attained to the throne of God, we have confidence and hope through his mediation and through his humanity, through his incarnation, to reach that same goal with full assurance through faith, having our hearts and conscience and bodies cleansed. What a wonderful picture of ultimate victory through Jesus Christ. His death paid the penalty for every sin. His sacrifice is complete. His humanity exhibited the perfect life that the Father wished that we might attain. As our elder brother, he has demonstrated that human nature, infused by the Holy Spirit, can reach the throne of God. The humanity of Christ is everything for us, gives us great assurance and confidence to enter through the veil into the sanctuary. There were three veils, one into the court, one into the holy place, one into the most holy place. The veil represents Jesus Christ. Fragile, inviting, concealing the minimum, easily breached, Jesus invites us to come with full assurance, with boldness and confidence into his presence, ready to clean us, to sprinkle us with the blood of Christ, to get our conscience, our minds and bodies into such an order that we can enter his presence. Let us hold fast, he says, the profession of our faith. Now the word faith here is actually hope in Greek. So a literal translation is, let us hold fast our confession of hope without any wavering, moving aside. For he is faithful that promised. It's not our promise. It's his promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We are to provoke people to love. We generally provoke them to anger and irritation. But we are to encourage them, keep on loving them till they love and carry out good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. That is, meeting together for fellowship. But exhorting, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This term, the day, would be very easy for Hebrews to identify. In Hebrew, it's called Hayom, the day. It's also called Yoma, Yom Kippur. The day is the day of atonement. So Paul here is warning that as the day of atonement is approaching, we should give very great care in encouraging one another by meeting together at times of fellowship, exhorting one another, provoking them to love. Having called attention to the imminence of the day of atonement, and for us the focusing point is 1844, he then gives a discussion of reaction to revelation. If we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sin. You can look everywhere in the Levitical code, and there is no provision for high-handed, deliberate sin. There's no more remission of sin. In verse 18 of this chapter, he says, now where remission of these things is, there's no more offering for sin. This is the reverse. Where there is no confession, where there is high-handed disobedience, there is no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Now the day is the day of judgment. It's the day of atonement. It's the day, Hayom, it's Yom Kippur. If there is no forgiveness, then there is only a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which devours the adversaries of God and his law. Historically, he that despised Moses' law died under two witnesses. So there was a judgment. Two witnesses came, testified, and he was condemned to death. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose he, shall he be thought worthy at the judgment, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he is sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God. How much sorer judgment! For we know him that said, we know God, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord shall judge his people. So the apostle is taking the day of atonement pointing out to those who were cut off from among the people, who died, the mouth of two or three witnesses. And he's saying, now think more seriously about your approach to the judgment. If in the times of Israel they were condemned, how much more shall we, who ignore Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have nothing to do with his covenant, the new covenant, do despite unto the grace of God? We should bear in mind that vengeance, recompense, judgment belong to God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So from verses 25 to 31, Paul is emphasizing how we should relate ourselves to the thought that the Day of Atonement, the Day of Judgment, is before everyone. Now, he said the same thing, it is appointed unto everyone to die, and after that the judgment, in 9:27. But there's another point of view. Remember the former days. See, we have nothing to fear for the future save as we forget the former days, after which you were illuminated, you endured, you were made a gazing stock, you were approached, afflicted, you became companions of other Christians who were so used. Remember that. Remember what you have gone through. You were compassionate of me and my bonds as your evangelist. You took the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves you have a better, more enduring substance in heaven. Cast not therefore away your confidence, your boldness. Already said that in verse 19. Don't cast away this boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, after you have done the will of God, to receive the promise. For yet a little while, that he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. You think he is tarrying? We considered his tarrying in the third verse of Habakkuk chapter 2. Though he tarry, he will come. Now his yet a little while is a very interesting expression. I think it only occurs here. It means a very, very little while in Greek. He that shall come, that is the coming one, will not tarry. Now notice his arguments. The day of judgment, verses 25 right through verse 27. And following the day of judgment, verse 37, he that shall come will come. So he parallels exactly what he's done in the ninth chapter. Every man must appear before the judgment bar, and then Jesus will come a second time. So here we all must appear on that day before the judge, and then with patience, faith, remembrance, confidence, wait for his coming. He that shall come, will not tarry. And the just shall live by faith. Exactly what Habakkuk says. The just shall live by his faith. Verse 4 of Habakkuk 2. But he that draws back, my soul will have no pleasure with him. But there will be perdition. But to them that believe, that is, exercise faith, there will be saving of soul. So in his argument, chapter 10, the apostle calls attention to the fact that Jesus has done everything. He's fulfilled the law. He's paid the penalty for every sin. He's set the norm of conduct. He is now living to present his life, his blood, his mediation, and we who move toward the second coming must pass the judgment in which we are judged worthy of eternal life. By faith and patience, we prepare for that wonderful day.